It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davin's Den.
All right, we are back to some School of Fools. I feel like we've done stories like this a lot this past year.
A lot going on in school?
No, thank you, Joe. As always, your credit to your cause. Whatever that cause is, if that cause is being annoying, you're a credit to it. You should feel proud of yourself.
I'd hold my head up high, but I'm tired.
All right, let it low. In the rosy, pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all
fall down. Shame, shame, shame. School of Fools.
Alrighty then, let's see, who do we got today? Who's on the School of Fools list? DeAndre Arnold! 18 made headlines last week when he was punished by Barbers Hill High School in Mount Bellevue for wearing the hairstyle, which is often a symbol of religious beliefs and cultural and prohibits cutting. The school said it was not about race, but Arnold, who is black, simply had hair that was too long, referencing their dress code policy. Arnold hasn't been in school for weeks because of this issue. As he revealed, this started sometime after the Christmas holiday break. If I go back to school tomorrow, my options are in-school suspension or alternative school. What's alternative school? Is that where they, like, listen to Nirvana?
Well, the school's name is Barbers Hill. They got offended.
The Barbers. They got offended by the long hair.
Which Arnold is...
I got it!
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah.
Right?
Which Arnold explained is for kids who have, quote, behavioral issues.
It's the glasses. Yeah, it's the serious glasses. It's Davin's serious glasses. There's no time for fun here. Sorry.
These glasses have really thrown you for a loop, haven't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, no, he's terrified.
They're like off his, he's like off his game, it's, which wasn't much
he's
of a
got,
game.
He's got them down low. I got my glasses down low in,
no,
in
he
serious
actually
mode.
Doesn't even. But it's like you're acting like he's turned into Clark Kent and you forgot who was behind that. You know, it's like.
He'll know soon enough.
It's completely a different look. It's a different person. I don't recognize you.
That's how.
Who are you?
Yeah.
Who are you?
The person will still tell you to go fuck yourself at the drop of a coin. And if a coin drops, you'll be on the fucking floor looking for it.
You know, along with you. Don't forget, you're a Jew and I'm a Scotchman.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. Anyway, so the alternative school is for people like Joe who have behavioral issues, sell drugs, fight all the time. See, I'm still the same prick. Don't you forget it.
And there's a dime on the floor.
Go get it.
That's mine.
All right, have
is
it.
Is that right?
Like, I wish the best for them, and I know they have good qualities in them, but I don't deserve to be grouped with them, Arnold eloquently said, adding that they won't let him walk in graduation with his hair as is. I worked for this my whole life. I've strived for this. I deserve this moment to walk across that stage and enter into my life. My parents deserve this. Adding that he gets good grades and has never been in trouble. Every day I would go to school, I would always be in dress code. But the thing with them is, if it was let down, I'd be out of dress code. He said he would usually wear his dreadlocks up, but the hair would be, quote, in your face past your ears or touching your collar. It would be considered a dress code violation. The district superintendent, Greg Poole, previously said there is no dress code policy that prohibits any cornrow or any other method of wearing of the hair. Our policy limits the length. And it's been that way for 30 years, and we're not going to change now, you motherfucker.
I know. God forbid we should change anything with the times.
No. According to the BHISD's 2019-2020 Dress and Grooming Code Handbook, male students' hair will not extend at any time below the eyebrows, or what are they, cousin it, or below the earlobes. Male students' hair must not extend.
Well, I'm picturing like some of those like goth kids or, you know, like yeah. Emo kids with it hanging in their face.
Yeah. Male students' hair must not extend below the top of a t-shirt collar or be gathered or worn in a style that would allow the hair to extend below the top of a t-shirt collar, below the eyebrows or below the earlobes when let down. Arnold explained how it was unfair, showing there are plenty of girls at my school with long hair. The audience applauded as though he was on Ellen. Like if girls have long hair, why can't I have long hair? For Arnold, his hair isn't a trendy style statement. He explained, it's really important to me because my dad is from Trinidad. And it's really part of our culture and our heritage. And I really wish the school would kind of be open to other cultures and at least let us try to tell you some of the things. Don't just shut us out. Arnold began growing his dreadlocks in the seventh grade, but the length of his hair never became an issue for the school he's attended for 10 years until he returned after the holiday break this year to be told the policy changed. Activists from Black Lives Matter Houston and the United Urban Alumni Association flooded to the Barbers High School student board meeting on Monday night, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, to protest against what they claim is a discriminatory policy. Gary Monroe with the United Urban Alumni Association threatened to take the case to the federal court if the schools refused to back down on the policy. Arnold's father, David, also accused the board of bullying his son. According to the school's website, however, Barbara Hills ISD has 5,379 students, of which only 3.1% is black. Wow, they got down to the decimal. They
really I know. That 0.1 counts.
Yeah. Well, that's one with an extra big cock. The school also refused.
They needed the extra.
It's worth it. The school also refused to add
he
the
really
topic.
It really fills out that percentage.
Yes. To future meeting the school. So they wouldn't let them talk about it in the future. The dress code is designed by white people for white people and is damaging to black bodies. Black Lives Matter activist Ashton Woods told KHU. So we put a poll on the Davin's Den social media, on the Instagram and the Facebook, asking that if DeAndre did not cut his hair, if he left his hair the way it is, should he be allowed to walk? What do you think the fans had to say?
Well, they say let him grow his hair.
I'm thinking let him grow his hair.
No, well, okay.
Should he be allowed to walk with his hair as it is?
Yes.
I'm going to say they said yes.
100% said yes. You can't get 100% of people to agree on anything.
I know. Wow.
100% said.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeter couldn't get 100%
he's better than Jeter.
Hall of Fame. Yeah.
The bottom line here is he's a good kid. He gets good grades. He's studious. You know, and he's wearing, like, hair in a traditional way he wears it. And to be frank, they're
just beat you. That's why you're here. Frank didn't get the job,
just
my friend.
Joe.
You did.
He can wear his hair any way he fucking wants. That's for Joe's girl. She'll know what she...
Yes, why don't we just do impressions for one person? That's where the show is now.
Actually, sometimes I focus the show just on one person in the chat.
As well you should. As well you should.
Their dress code for the hair is archaic.
Look at you. Did you get a word of the day calendar? I'm proud of you.
That wasn't one of those
Frank
ones that we said.
Frank
would
have had that word.
No, Frank wouldn't have known.
No,
me.
He would have used fucking bullshit.
Yeah, see, but Joe came up with archaic. Yeah, like, I kind of feel like these policies are archaic.
Crimson Cat in the chat says,
holy shit!
What?
There's a name I haven't heard
wow.
in like a year.
I know.
How you
wow.
been?
Hello, Crimson Cat.
Crimson Cat's here. Says, it's freaking hair. Stop discriminating.
That's
I
what
like
I say
that.
About the hair on my back. Freaking hair. Stop making me shave it. Discriminating.
Discrimination.
Yeah.
No, it needs to be done.
Do something with that.
Yeah, please.
You fucking hairy beast, you. We don't like your type here.
Yeah, it's amazing how the school wouldn't even discuss it.
No, like, no. Men have died.
In their statement, they said, no, men have died.
Nobody knew what the hell that meant.
The show actually did agree with him because they're using their terms.
All right, so he says it's cultural.
Yeah.
If it wasn't cultural, should he be allowed to grow his hair?
I mean, they do have a policy, but I do believe that it is cultural, Rastafari do come from.
Well, he's from Trinidad. He's,
yeah, Trinidad and Tobago. And,
I had a Trinidadian student in my school. He didn't have dreadlocks, but it was a different time.
Well,
his favorite pitcher was Dwight Gooden. He used to walk down the hallways doing Dwight Gooden's windup. It was elementary school, but I remember it well. You remember things like that.
Well, and perhaps he wasn't Rastafarian, so.
Oh, I don't know. Or just from Trinidad.
You know, it didn't speak to him culturally to have his hair. But there's been a lot in the news about schools policing black hair, and it's like, you've got to step the fuck back with that.
Policing black hair. Is that Jerry Curl?
No, really.
Back away from the 70s, son. I'm doing this for your own good.
Telling people they're not allowed to wear their hair naturally. They're not to wear it in cornrows. They're not allowed to do this
Freeze!
And that.
Is that relaxer I see in your hair?
Well, yes.
We found Ambi in your locker.
We're policing black hair.
It's a gateway hair product.
Add a rollers into cuffs. You're coming with me.
How do you police? To and fro. Afro, that is.
Oh, see, that's
is
my
Is that a pick? Put the pick down, mister. Put the pick down.
I had a shoot, and there was a pick in his hand. I didn't know. I didn't know if that pick was loaded.
He could have teased that fro. And, mister, where I come from, you don't tease froes. You respect the law, and you do what you can. Been watching Dragnet every morning.
And now Frank is part of the show.
I think that was Sergeant Friday that just visited us.
Dragnet rules.
Yes.
The acting is so fucking horrible.
It's so terrible.
Gives you hope. I
I think it's time we eliminate these dress codes with the hair. Enough.
Stop.
We got other problems to worry about.
But you know what? When I was in high school during the 70s, everybody wore their hair. They were really, African Americans had the afro, and mm-hmm. I had hair down to my shoulders and
everybody
stuff like
had
that.
Lots of hair.
So for them to have this dress code,
I remember.
Was it the 50s?
This is a
public school.
Yeah. All right. If it's a private school is different. They can call their own shots. It's a private school. But if you're getting good grades, he seems like a nice kid. You know, very studious.
Ellen and Alicia
kid.
Keys like him.
Yeah, very studious kid. I think it's stupid.
I remember in my elementary school, it might have been the high school too, but it was definitely the elementary school. Boys, not only could we not wear shorts, that was in elementary school, but boys could not wear hats. They could not wear hats in school.
Interesting.
That was a policy. So
hats off.
Yeah. No, seriously. So like, but I was like, I wasn't going to be the one because I didn't want to wear a yarmulke or anything. I was like ashamed back in those days. Not
right.
Why were you ashamed?
Probably because of anti-Semitism and it was different and I was a kid.
Would that have been considered a hat in that school?
Well, would it have been considered a hat? Because I would wear a hat, a baseball cap to Temple even. Mm-hmm. And
wear a baseball cap to Temple?
At night, relax. It's not a series.
That's kind of disrespectful.
Well, it's not conducting an imaginary orchestra during the
we're
national
not talking about. We're not talking about that.
That's and I'm not the commander in chief, so shut the fuck up.
No, but it's disrespectful to wear a hat in
the
and
rabbi
Temple.
Was fine with it.
Why? Was he a Yankee fan?
I don't even know what hat I wore.
But as long as you're covering your head, right?
Right, you have to cover your head. So if I would have worn a baseball, I wonder if I could have argued for religious reasons, I have to keep my cap on.
You may have been able to do something with that if it was legitimate, though, not if you were just saying, I want to see what I can get away with.
It's just fucking stupid. That's what it is. Let the kid walk. Let him walk. Let the perp walk. No. All right. So we all agree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so this next one, this is actually an interview, which I record. It's a really good interview, so that instead of me reading the story to you, I'm going to play it. It's lengthy, but it's good. And it's a lot, so this is about a
sort of like my cock.
That's lengthy, but good.
Yeah, you can't even say that with a straight face. You cracked yourself up. You know bullshit when you say it. Oh, we did have one of our shows, the only black man who said he had a small dick. That did happen during my show on Saturday.
That's funny.
Yeah, very fun crowds.
Yes, we did good. We came, we saw, and then we left. All right, so this is about a professor in Babson College who made a satirical post on his own private Facebook page, and then somebody copied it and reported it, mm-hmm. and he got canned. So this is that story. It's about an 8-minute interview, so sit tight. I will play that, and then we will discuss on the other half.
Should something you say or post about politics on your own time affect what happens to you at work? It's an issue my next guest is grappling with after he was fired from his job at Babson College over something he wrote on his personal Facebook page in response to a tweet from Donald Trump. It was shortly after the U.S. strike that killed Iran's top general, and Trump was warning against retaliation, tweeting, "If Iran strikes any Americans or American assets, we have targeted 52 Iranian sites, some at a very high level and important to Iran and the Iranian culture. I should note that cultural sites are protected under international law." So Trump's threat drew a lot of reaction, including from Ashin Fonseca, who was then the director of sustainability at Babson College. He wrote on Facebook, "In retaliation, Ayatollah Khomeini should tweet a list of 52 sites of beloved American cultural heritage that he would bomb. Mall of America, Kardashian residence." Fonseca later said the post was meant to be sarcastic, calling it a bad attempt at humor. And after negative reactions poured in, he deleted the post, but not before it caught the attention of Babson officials, who suspended, then a day later fired him, saying in part, quote, "Babson College condemns any type of threatening words and or actions condoning violence under 8. But in the weeks since, many high-profile free speech advocates have come to Fonseca's defense, including writers Salman Rushdie, Joyce Carol Oates, and Roseanne Cash, and more than 300 others who signed a letter calling on the school to reinstate him. So far, they have not." Ashin joins me now. Good to meet you. Thanks so much for being here. Can we start at the end? Is there any evidence that Babson is contemplating changing their decision in light of this outpouring? By the way, it's not just those individuals. American Pen, which is a literary and human rights organization, is supporting your cause here. Any indication that they're thinking of switching their position?
You know, Jim, I've really been gratified by all of the national outpouring of folks that are really concerned about free speech on college campuses. It's been really nice to see that pressure on Babson. It's going to be on them to decide essentially.
Any evidence that they're relenting in the face of that pressure? Not yet.
I haven't spoken to them.
What was your intent with the Facebook post? I mentioned what your quote was that I had read in either the Times or the Boston Globe. What was your intent?
Yeah, so the context of it was originally I shared a post about the lead up to the Iraq War and all of the rhetoric that was essentially causing that and the fallout of that. And then, as you had talked about, I shared a post of a lot of beautiful Persian cultural sites that our president would purport to bomb and said, this is a war crime. Let's dial back this rhetoric. Let's make sure that we don't use this escalating rhetoric to lead to violence. And then that was the context of that post, which was essentially just satirical. It was saying, you know, what in the context of, you know, what would America threaten? You know, this. Where does this lead? Where, you know, what sort of cultural statement does this make?
What was the first indication that you had that Babson had a problem with what you had posted?
So they called me and said, hey, we're seeing this post on this blog. What is this? And, you know, I hadn't any inkling that it was, you know, had been made public, that it was posted on my private page to friends that I know have understood my history of, you know, occasional satire and sort
this
of
this is a private critical. Page, you said?
It was a private page. It was my private Facebook page, two friends, and one of them took a screenshot and sent it to this blog, who then posted it with a, you know, sort of sensationalized headline and said, you know, hey, this is someone that doesn't like America.
So did Babson suspend you on the spot?
Within an hour or so, yeah.
And by the way, they've said to the press, they then investigated promptly and thoroughly, and a day later, they fired you. We asked what that prompt and thorough investigation was, and they didn't respond. What did they do in that 24 hours, do you know?
I don't know, other than have internal discussions. They did ask me to come in and speak with the public safety office, which I was happy to do. I was happy to cooperate and say, you know, this was my intent. We spoke for a few minutes to public safety. They said, you know, clearly this isn't, you're no threat. You know, you're free
public
to go.
Safety people at Babson said, clearly you're no threat.
Well, we spoke for a few minutes and they said, oh, you're free to go. Thanks for clarifying.
Why'd you delete this? If this was just intended to be sarcasm, why'd you delete the post?
Well, I was horrified at how people really willfully misconstrued it. And I looked at it and I looked at the really racist comments that people were making as a cause of it. And I said, you know, let me sort of shut it down at the source of that, just to make sure that, you know, I and the people I care about don't get these comments continue to be made.
When you mentioned the racist, some of the racist responses, I saw some of the social media, more than one of which said you should be deported. Where were you born, Shane?
Yeah, I was wondering if they wanted to deport me back to South Carolina or...
You're born in the United States.
I was born in the United States.
But you felt the need, despite that, to say in one of your responses, I'm American born and raised. What did that feel like?
You know, it's. I think that all Americans, no matter what we look like, what our names are, should be able to say, hey, I'm just as American as anyone else, and here's comments that I have about my country, about the administration. It was, I felt like I had to say that because of all the comments saying, you know, that I should be deported.
You're an American-hating terrorist, amongst other things. You know, I read in the Globe, or the Times, my apologies, you're a divorced father, too, said you had to take your kids out of school, had to stay away from home because of threats. Is that why you did this?
Yeah, it's, you know, there were people saying things like, I've got you in my crosshairs, you know, you should be killed in the parking lot, and things like that. And, you know, to go from that to a conversation where my college is saying you're the one with threatening speech is just sort of ludicrous.
Did Babson show any interest in helping to protect you from these threats, even after they had fired you? You have a long history with the school, by the way. This is not like you just showed up there. You have a long history with Babson.
Spent 3 years as a student, 10 years plus as an adjunct professor, and a year on staff. So
more than almost a decade and a half. They show any concern about the threats that were directed at you?
None.
Why do you think they fired you?
I think they fired me because they wanted to stem the tide of the you know, hateful comments that were being made, and rather than address, you know, this is the truth behind, you know, the post and the satire and whatnot, and this is the truth behind this person that we know. I think they just said, hey, we're getting some bad publicity, and you know, this is a way to.
What's the message do you think it sends to the faculty, to staff at Babson College? I mean, I don't know anybody. I've spoken to a lot of people about your case long before I knew you were coming. Even those who thought it was inappropriate, no one thought you intended it as threats of violence or anything like that. What do you think the effect of their action is beyond you?
You know, I do think it's chilling. I mean, the place that we should be having this conversation about anything from war to climate to anything that might touch controversial topics, the one place it should be protected the most is on college campuses. You know, if faculty, students, staff are discussing something in a place that has committed to free speech principles, that, you know, it's absolutely chilling to think that we have to self-censor because someone might willfully misconstrue.
Are you planning on taking action against Babson? What's your next step?
You know, I'm really just focusing on the support that I've been getting from the community of folks that are really interested in academic free speech, you know, otherwise keeping my options open.
Good luck to you, Shane. Appreciate your time.
Thanks so much,
Shane Fonse. And by the way, if people from Babson College want to come sit here and defend this action, we'd be happy to have them.
Thought that was a pretty good interview.
Yeah. Very good.
Thought they covered a lot there. Listen, man, I mean, it's satire. I mean, it was clearly satire.
I think that the best phrase that he used in that interview is willfully misconstrued. I think that there is a lot of that sort of thing going around where people
yes.
are willfully misconstruing, and for people who don't know what that means, they're definitely pretending they don't understand the real truth.
Oh, I had that last night on my Facebook page. So
yeah.
So Rush Limbaugh says he has advanced lung cancer. Mm. So I posted, I go, it was pretty sneaky of Hillary Clinton to give Rush Limbaugh lung cancer. Because you know, the whole thing is, you know, killery, she, you know, people, the species kill everybody.
Yes.
So, you know, so I have a comic who's a club owner. He's just looking to start shit. Oh, you're making fun of people with cancer. I'm like, no.
Oh, God.
I'm not making fun of him having cancer.
No.
I'm making fun of the morons who go killery and all that stuff. Willfully misconstruing.
Yes. Yes. And because if you're not willfully misconstruing things like this, then you're that fucking stupid. And it's not a good look for you either way. But the thing is that I think that if these people can't understand that this is satire, and satire is allowed under the First Amendment.
Well, this has nothing to do with free speech. This is not a free speech issue.
It's not in the sense. This
is about your employers being able to fire you. That's what this is, over personal stuff.
It is a free it is a free speech issue because I don't personally agree with his politics. I personally don't agree with what he wrote. He wrote it on his personal page. And for the school to fire him over something he wrote on his personal page that was not part of the college, but was his opinion on his page, for them to fire him.
It happens all the time to teachers when they're shown drinking.
But it should... It kind of goes hand in hand with the next story. If there was
it's amazing how that works. It's like somebody puts this together somehow.
Or that you have a clause in your work that says that you have to assure that all of your actions in public and private pursuits reflect positively on the individual and the place.
But
if
I don't
you
think
have
that,
something
but
like that
not
in your
negatively,
workplace.
I don't see how that if he was serious.
But see how relative that kind of clause is, and that's how they
yeah,
get you.
And now if it's not straight, if there was a clause with this school, it's going to be the linchpin in the next story, on my opinion. But you know, it was something he made on his personal page that was with no directive of the school, or it was a comment of the school. So for the school to turn around and go, these are not the opinions or the you know of what we have here. No, they're not. And he didn't make it on your page either. It was made out of work.
Actually, what he was satirizing was it was illegal if the president gave and the president said we're going to go after the cultural sites. That is illegal. That is a war crime. So what he was satirizing was something that's illegal. How is that violating? You know, he wasn't satirizing the drone strike on the Iranian general.
But I don't think the argument is about what he said. I think the argument is about where he said it, and he should keep his job about where he said it on his own personal Facebook
page. Right, but it's
about
what he
page.
Said. He could post pictures of kittens. Nobody's going to fire him on it.
How do you know? Maybe there's a college there that fucking hates cats.
Possible.
Dog University.
Mr. Mittens. Well, we'll bring him in tomorrow.
I mean, I think the question is that when the school's looking at this, will parents have a problem with their student being in his class? I think that's what these decisions look at. When they reflect on the school, what it means is how much blowback are we going to get for this? And I think reasonable people would not give the school blowback. There might be a few. Mm-hmm. You know, people who willfully misconstrue and like to bitch. Mm-hmm. But I think the vast majority of reasonable people would look at this and go, yeah, the Kardashians isn't really an American cultural site. Maybe Kim's ass, but the rest of it, not so much. I mean, reasonable people.
A lot of missiles to blow that ass up.
Yeah, and you have one ready to go. Anyway. And there'll be a conversation on the ride home. My work here is done. Pick up your dime. That's your pay for that. No, I mean, they're really stretching. So they're looking for a reason to fire this guy. This isn't egregious. This isn't. He's not inspiring
but
violence.
Think on a college campus where they're liberal and free thought and stuff like that. They're,
I don't know if this college is liberal. No. I don't know what this college is. Doesn't seem like they're very liberal, Joe.
Not right in this case, but
doesn't
seem
like it.
It doesn't seem that what he made on his page. Is the view of the college, and it doesn't seem that if he mentioned it in class, if somebody heard him in the hall, if another faculty member heard it in the lounge or something like that, that would be up to debate because it's the campus. If he posted something, a blog, a part of the college, then it's not the views. But if you make a statement on your personal Facebook page, and this has got ramifications for everybody, where do we draw the line on this? Because if we're not going to start to draw the line, people are losing their jobs over their freedom of speech. And if we cut out our freedom of speech, what have we got?
Here's where the law gets drawn. And people don't. Here's the reality. It depends who you are. It all depends who you are. This guy was expendable.
I want you to remember that.
Well, that's the reality. I'm not saying it's right.
I'm not being facetious.
Are you being frank? Who the fuck are you tonight? I just want Joe. We haven't had Joe for a month. I just want Joe, and instead I get frank and facetious.
It's gonna be a key point of the next story.
But listen. Like they talk about with President Trump. He does things that any other politician, any other president, they'd be impeached, they'd lose the gig, whatever it is. The conducting of the imaginary orchestra, whatever the fuck it is. It depends on who you are. This guy is expendable, like the vast majority of us are.
Yeah.
If you're not like Shane Gillis was, like Ari Shaffir was, to name two comedians who got blowback for jokes or attempted jokes or whatever the fuck they were doing.
Yeah.
But where do we go as a society if
we stop posting shit?
But
that's where we go.
But yeah. Still, is everybody afraid to say something?
Yes, you should.
Do you think that's good?
No.
I don't think it's good.
So there's got to start to be some blowback over this.
And who's
going to
lead that? You're gonna start posting anti things about your company? About you're gonna post glowing things about the competition? No, because you don't want any of your bosses to see that shit. Even if you're being completely satirical, you don't want them to misconstrue it. It's not worth the headache. Well, so you watch your P's and Q's. You happen to have bosses that don't give a shit what you do. That's pretty obvious by the nonsense you post.
But it's
it ain't
amazing.
All puppies and kitties.
But there was a friend of mine when the whole. And when they fired Anthony Cumia from Opie and Anthony, some people on our crew, they were going back and forth with people on all the social media platforms.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, not me, but also one of my friends. And she is a computer programmer, and somebody called her company and said, oh, well, she's posting this, that, and the other thing. Do you really want this person working for you? And they said, yeah, she does a damn good job. Yeah, we do. And luckily her bosses were pretty, open-minded
because who she was. Because she was deemed more valuable than this nonsense. It comes down to this. Here's what really should have happened with this guy. The college should have gone, listen, we can't have this. you can't do this again. And he should have issued one of those half-ass apologies. It was satire. I'm sorry you were offended, and we all move on with our fucking lives. That's really what...
It would have blown over.
Exactly. So the college could save face. Like, they're not going to put up with humor. And everybody would have gone on, and he could have given a half-ass apology. This is blown out of proportion.
It's completely blown out of proportion, but there are no half measures anymore.
No.
Crimson Cat saying in the chat.
No, I thought you were saying it in your earpiece. That's what I'm dealing with tonight.
Listen,
it's in the chat. People don't know where the person is.
She gave her a shout out. It's not like her. It's all right. Fine.
People
in the
chat. Just tuning in. I'm giving.
Oh,
context.
All right. There you go. Oh, look at you. All right. I'll give you that.
All right.
Shake your face.
So
no, you don't get any bonus points. Sit there, fucking be stupid, like you always do.
That's why I named the voices in my head too. I just want to keep everybody on the same.
They're all
page.
Named after listeners.
Yeah. What was that? Kill?
When she
kill? You said.
When she wants to cook something, she struck her top.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
that's right. Crimson Cat says, bite me, Davin.
I'm going to need the long teeth. She's not
where
here.
Where am I supposed to bite him, Crimson Cat? Where? No. Oh, so, sorry. Not the voice in my head. This is the one in the chat.
Bridge too far?
From what I've observed over the past 12 years, venues like Facebook are turning everyone in experts, and it's gotten vituperative. Everyone's
what?
What? Stop.
Bitter.
Thank you.
God damn! I thought our cake was impressive.
Uh-huh.
I've never heard
one up
vituperative
me.
Before.
Look at that.
Yeah, you don't even have the words like that.
Every once in a while I do. I keep them in my pocket.
Show's getting
for
way too
sometimes, yeah, I know. Sometimes a smart word moseys in.
And it looks odd and out of place.
Yeah, I come from the Webster Dictionary.
Beat it back down and sweep it out. The
go
door.
Back to a duh.
Where are you from, stranger?
Vituperative. Rent?
Vituperative.
All right.
Yes. Oh.
Tired just thinking about
who
the
are you, stranger? Vituperative. Where are you
says,
from?
Oh,
Webster.
Forgot.
I'm trying to get
I
this
forgot.
Joke out. All right.
Sorry.
All right.
Oh, I forgot. Little words for Davin. LOL.
No, I have glasses. I can handle the big words.
I know you
those
did.
Are
yeah,
his smarty pants glasses.
Really struggled with your mouth to get that one out,
no,
did
I
you?
No, I forgot what I called them before.
Stupid. Such a quest to be funny and fail. Anyway.
So Kat says, everyone's a-critting. People don't have civilized conversations anymore. At least it's not the norm.
Not for two-bit-of ones.
But we don't even know if anybody complained about this.
I know. But she's saying, I'm not saying that all social media is all bad. I mean, I've met a lot of wonderful people through Facebook, but I've also
I like
seen
Tinder.
A lot of shit that's so fake,
and
so
Grindr.
Controversial and antisocial. People turn
how about
on
divorce
friends.
Court?
They turn on friends that they have in real life instead of having an intelligent conversation
yeah,
and agreeing to disagree. They block and get nasty.
I don't think
but
this is
this where
this
we
is,
are.
This, yeah, but that's not this.
No, it's not this, but it, in a
no,
larger
no, but,
sense, it is that because people, instead of saying, well, what did you mean by that? And, oh, it's supposed to be a joke or having a conversation about it. They were like, I'm not putting up with that shit. Fire that guy.
Well, I do think it's interesting that the default whenever we see a brown person is go back to where you came from.
I know. Isn't
that
lovely?
I think that says a lot about where we're. I think that says quite a bit about who
we are as
a society.
Yeah.
Go back to where you came from.
Really? Yeah, South Carolina. I love that line in the article. Are you deporting me to South Carolina?
You workshopped it. It worked out well for me. No, I mean, listen, social media is probably more destructive than constructive a lot of times.
And the funny thing is, I think, you know, most of the story has been spent on, you know, what he said, you know, and what people were saying against him, which is a separate story. But I think it really is concentrated on the school's policy of firing somebody about saying something that's not on their platform.
Right, right.
You know, that's the core of the story.
Well, I mean, if he wants to take it up in court, I mean, you know, it'll get litigated. But right now, that is the trend. You say something in your private time, mm-hmm. and a lot of the stories tonight are going to have that. You say something in your private time, it could cost you your job.
That's why when you guys are busting my balls about having a fake name on this show, hello, that's why.
You haven't had a job worth keeping. Anyway, we'll move on.
No, for years I did.
Not since I've known you. Maybe when you were scrubbing toilets, the good old days, when you could collect your thoughts with you and the tidy bowl man.
You know what? We used to have some great chats.
I bet you did. Reminded you of Joe. Good times.
Yeah.
How did he remind me of the tiny bowl man?
Oh, Mr. Clean. Is it the same guy?
No, stupid. They're two different guys. The tiny bowl man has got this little boat and a toilet tank, and he floats around. You lift up the lid, and hey, how you doing, lady? I'm cleaning the shitter for you.
I don't think I've ever seen the tiny bowl man.
There is a tiny bowl man.
The little man in the boat.
He dresses like
I definitely haven't seen it then. I've heard about it. I've been all around it, but
boat,
I've never met him. I'll tell you that much.
Got a captain's hat on.
Joe. We're having a conversation about clits here. You're lost.
No, he had a little blue blazer. And
he did?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did not know.
You lift up the toilet lid and there he is. Ahoy, lady. You know.
I was stuck. I know scrubbing bubbles and I know Mr. Clean.
Yeah.
Anyway, no. Whatever. We'll move on. So we think it's bullshit. This guy got fired.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not really surprised, though. Satire. Get you every fucking time.
I know. Ridiculous.
A Seattle cop has been fired for suggesting sending package bombs to Hillary Clinton and former President Barack Obama. They finally STFU, according to a new report. An internal investigation that launched in 2018 found the unidentified police officer's unprofessional posts on a private Instagram account negatively impacted the department's ability to serve the public. I don't condone sending package bombs, but God, it would be nice for Killary, there it was, Killary,
yeah,
and anti-cop Obama to finally STFU. The officer wrote alongside a photo of a mail package bomb, according to a case summary posted this week by Seattle's Office of Police Accountability. Maybe Obama will stop lying and claiming the good economy is from him. Hashtag MAGA. Hashtag Trump2020. Hashtag Trump. In another post under the Instagram username at OfficerDG, the officer stuck his middle finger up while blasting backers of illegal immigrants. Rah. That's how I told Pip to leave her job. Rah, middle fingers up and blast the illegal immigrants on the way out. For good measure.
No.
If you support illegal immigrants coming into our country so much, then make a difference and bring them into your home. And you support them, you fucksticks.
I do support his use of fuck sticks. That's an awesome curse
word. It's no protuberative, I'll tell you that much.
It is protuberative.
The cop, who was reported to investigators by a female acquaintance, bitches, who followed him on Instagram for 5 years, later admitted to making offensive posts while acknowledging he shouldn't have posted them, according to case summary. He stated that he was criticizing illegal immigration as a practice, not undocumented individuals specifically. He told OPA, who's that, Office of... Police Office of Police Accountability.
Oh, okay.
Thought it was a grandfather.
Opa!
Opa! He told Opa, in hindsight, he would not have made the posting. Yeah, because it cost you your ass. The summary said the officer used extremely profane language in some of the posts. The officer was not found to have engaged in biased policing due to the posts, but investigators sustained findings that he violated department social media policy and acted unprofessionally, the newspaper reported. The private Instagram account is operated by a user who identifies himself as Doloksak Gergo. A request for... Wow, they got punctuation I've never seen before.
Look at my friend. He is posting nasty stuff on there. I must tell.
All right.
Police
spokesman Sergeant Sean Whitcomb told the Seattle Times that the department would likely release the officer's name on Friday, because that'll help. Whitcomb did not return a message seeking comment. So this was another Instagram, Davin's Den Instagram and Facebook poll. And this one was, so I asked, should he have been fired? Should he have been fired, yes or no? And what people said was, everybody agreed, even police officers agreed, he should be fired. And everybody agreed for the pipe bomb comments, he should have been fired. It was mixed on whether he should be fired for the illegal immigrants.
The thing that got me, now when I read the prep for this, I thought about the story.
That's good. And that's step one.
Oh, look at this. I stole an order. Oh, I'm going to get that out there.
Joe brought his day program to the nighttime gig. All right. Fucking look at it later, stupid. It's not going to change now.
I'm going to place that. All right. Anyway.
Stupid. Somebody's going to have a meeting.
You think you're in trouble. Anyway.
When you guys switch jobs, you can't fuck up any worse.
Yeah.
Be great.
So basically when I was reading this story, I'm like, he should be fired. When I was reading the other story, he really shouldn't be fired. So I'm like, all right, well, the debate is like, why do you feel that in one story the guy shouldn't be fired and the other story he should be fired here? And number one is that they do have that policy.
Yes.
And also when you're threatening to send a pipe bomb to Hillary Clinton.
And Barack Obama.
Barack Obama. That's usually things the cops look at.
Yeah.
You're the cop!
Yeah, that's stuff the feds look at.
That's stuff that get legitimately gets you in trouble. And you could say, well, he wrote that. Well, yeah, you know, you need to take a look at everything.
Yeah, really.
I think the more interesting one, and yes, I agree with you.
Yeah.
The more interesting one.
Isolate that.
Yeah, I know. I'm terrified right now.
Is the illegal immigrant one. And now here's where you go, Joe would go free speech, but again, it's not really free speech. Well, I guess it could be because it's a government job. But here's why he should be fired for the illegal immigrant one. Because I thought about what Detective Dave has said on this show and why he's been somewhat in favor of these sanctuary cities and the reason behind, not that he, I don't know how he feels about the policy, but as far as policing, the good thing about sanctuary cities is that the illegals will come forward and tell them where crimes are, where there's been assaults, rapes, where they won't feel that they're, you know, they won't feel that if they go to the police, they're going to be, you know.
Deported.
Right. That's the word. I almost said exported, but they're not products. So because of this, I think he's making it harder to do police work. Because of the anti-immigrant statement, he's making it harder for illegals if they saw this to come forward because they think he doesn't want me here. I'm not going to come to him. He's going to do everything to get me kicked out. So I think on both accounts, on the pipe bomb and his comments on illegal immigrants, he can think whatever he wants, but to post it, to put that out there, makes it harder for the police to do their job.
Yeah, I mean, Crimson Cat said, oh, please, if everyone has said that they're going to kill someone or that they wish someone dead, you know, they were going to get locked up. We would all get locked up.
Actually, no, I don't post that shit on social media.
Yeah, no, but I have to respectfully disagree because I think that in this particular instance, we're talking about a police officer and this does impact their ability to do their job.
They're
like
the law.
Said, when, number one, this is a person that does have weapons. They do have the ability to hurt people.
Well, we saw the Coast Guard officer was at a stockpile. Remember the Coast?
Yeah.
That wasn't that long ago. Remember the Coast Guard wanted to go on a killing spree against his perceived enemies of Donald Trump.
Right. Well, I mean, in every day going out and doing their job, the police have the ability to, they have the ability to kill. So if you have somebody that has that ability as part of their job, as part of their position, you know, they're supposed to uphold the law and do these things to protect citizenry, not to be saying, you know, it would be great if we could just shut them the fuck up. Who else do you want to shut the fuck up? You're carrying a gun. That I'm reading this and saying, here's a person that's allowed to go around with weaponry. I am not. And you're saying you're annoyed with those people, you want to shut them up? What if I'm getting too mouthy for you? You're going to shut me the fuck up?
Is that an option?
Not with guns, no.
Okay.
Masking tape.
And also, you know, usually, excuse me, I can't talk tonight. Sorry.
He pointed to Davin like, here's your
Yeah, I'm gone for 3 weeks. I'm running around everybody else's show like a playboy. I finally got on mine and I can't talk. Nice job, stupid. Anyway, basically there was decorum being a police officer. You're a police officer 24/7. So even if you're making statements, even that it's on your own page, just due to the nature of that job, to make those statements is not a great idea.
Those are inflammatory.
It
was a private page.
Still,
I don't know if it was like private where nobody could see it, or just meant his personal page. I don't know what that meant because there's different types of private.
Right. Here's a person who works as a police officer and makes it known that they do that.
I don't
and
know if he made it known because this woman might have known him because she'd been following.
Oh, I see.
I don't know.
My bad.
But again, you know, your job matters.
If at any time, Just this is a blanket warning to y'all. No matter whether we have First Amendment rights or not, if you ever feel the compulsion to say things that are going to alert the Secret Service to your potential as a danger to people that they protect, you should probably not post it on social media. Just saying.
I mean, there's enough of these cases.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
And they're legitimate threats sometimes.
I think they got to fire him.
I think that that's like not an issue of retraining at that point. That's an issue of just like bone stupid.
So the professor we feel should keep his job, and the police officer we feel bye-bye.
Unless he's professor of artillery.
And the takeaway that I have from these two stories is the officer should lose his job because basically there's a sense of decorum and also just the job in general where you're a cop.
And there's a policy.
Thank you very much. And the policy is number one. And then the sense of decorum. And then, you know, you have this, you're a cop 24/7. And you're making these statements on your private page, it's unacceptable.
That's interesting. Are we our job 24/7? Are you a teacher 24/7? Are you a state or a local government worker 24/7?
It depends on the job. If you carry a gun and you make life and death decisions.
Teachers have lost jobs for being drunk and looking slutty.
Yeah, but
on their free time, on their own personal social media.
And that's where they get into those employment conditions where you have like morals clauses and things like
we
that.
We did it last week.
Nebulous.
We did it last week with the dentist. Well, who was posting pro-Trump stuff, and then somebody went on her job's job's Facebook page and said she was a racist, and she got caught for and she lost her job.
Yeah. But it reflected badly on the business.
But it didn't. It didn't. She was just being a Trump supporter doesn't reflect badly on a business, because if we're at that place, it's all over.
No,
pack it in, which we're getting pretty close to anyway.
Yeah, we're getting to the point where it's like, well, if you are of that persuasion, if you've got a D or an R after your name, you can work here and here, but not there, because those people, the other letter wants to go work there. You know, go and. Be at that place. Like, you know, you work for a plumbing supply, and so say that, you know, if you were to say things that were pro-Democrat, and then you would lose suppliers or you would lose purchasers because of that, then it's like, oh, well, your company only hires people that are, you know, pro-Republican or a conservative, and then those are the only people that work there. You know, it would be like red and blue, not just for voting. Mm. It would be for like shopping and purchasing and, you know, all of our activities. It would just become like divided states in every sense of the word. I'm not suggesting that would be a good thing.
The first thing we heard was her cats with some fuzz that blew some hair balls on the couch. Then an hour on the Ramones gig, and that's when we wanted to tap out. We're listening to a story that has no end. It feels good not to talk for a while. When Pip gets going, you look for a vein. Settle down, you'll be here for a while. Blah, 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 blah.
It had been a couple years since I
Jesus Christ,
took
that. It's been a while, yeah.
Bastards.
You were just on a roll, dear.
It made sense.
You always do.
I guess that's the problem.
I'm not saying it didn't make sense, but there was a lot of words. A lot of words for that point.
Oh my God.
Oh, okay. That's classic. Let's do some drunks in the news, shall we? All right, we shall. Thank you.
I'll
handle this. You spoke for 2 hours.
We all in. All
right.
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
All right, and this week's Benjamin Franklin drinking term, in his element. And when I heard that, I thought they were referring to Joe, because that's what Joe used to drive.
Two of them for 10 years. Yeah.
It's like, wow, he knows Joe. He He's drunk and in his element.
You're not driving an element anymore?
No.
They don't make them anymore.
They don't make them anymore.
I
would have bought another one. No, I got a CRV.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah,
oh,
since
okay.
A year and a half ago.
Where the hell have I been?
Eating chicken salad and passed out.
Passed out in my car.
Yeah, so in his element. So this is about a mayor that's not too far from where I grew up.
I just love this story.
Why is that?
Oh, because it just really makes sense to me about people I know.
Okay. All right. So a New Jersey mayor admitted he got so drunk at a party that he removed his pants and passed out on a township employee's bed. John Roth, not to be confused with David Lee, who has served as mayor of affluent Mawa since 2018, conceded to the shocking incident on Wednesday during an interview with NorthJersey.com, claiming that he has since apologized to the unidentified employee. Sorry, I pissed your bed. The party, which took place on January 10th, was reportedly attended by around a two dozen township employees. After consuming too much alcohol at the event, Ross stated that he headed upstairs and said, "Bosdy, bosdy, bop," before taking off his pants and laying down on the employee's bed. Partygoers later roused Roth, diddy bop, from his sleep before his wife arrived to pick him up and take him back home. While the incident took place earlier this month, it only became public this week following the publication of a letter signed by a group of concerned township employees. In the letter directly addressed to Roth, the employees tell the mayor that he has shown them considerable disrespect and claimed that his actions threaten our careers and livelihood. The letter obtained by the Daily Voice goes on to claim that there have been threats of poor treatment of anyone suspected of leaking the story. It has already caused issues in the offices, which makes it nearly impossible to work collectively because of your behavior, it states. The employees are now demanding that Roth apologize by email to the entire staff and gather all the employees together to make a public apology and lead them in a toast. Short of that, you should resign your position. I think the bigger issue here is it's not the getting drunk. It's the threatening that everybody has to shut the fuck up. I think that's the thing that really did him in.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, without a doubt. You know, I mean, look, but also, you're a public figure. You know, I mean, watch your drinking.
Yeah, but public figures pretty much do whatever they want now. Blackface, lead imaginary orchestras during the national anthem.
As much stupid stuff as the general public gets up to, public figures do too.
Yeah, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I don't think this is all that bad. The getting drunk.
I think it's an embarrassing social gaffe, but that was the tip of the iceberg. You can just sense that in between the lines there's been shit going on in this particular small town. Well, it's not that small, but this town has probably had other stuff going on. And the fact that he's been going around allegedly saying, if there's going to be problems for you people, if this gets out, that's points to a bigger problem in the organization.
You know, the question, I don't think he should be forced to resign for this. It's a little much.
That's a bit much.
I mean, it doesn't seem like there's a history that we know of this type of behavior.
If there has not been, no, he should not be forced to resign.
I think they're overreacting. I mean, but again, they're only asking for an apology. So he really should apologize. Listen, I shouldn't have threatened everybody. I just got paranoid. I acted badly. That really should have ended there. For this to become a story is a little much.
Well, yeah, grab everybody the next day. And go, yeah, I'm sorry about that last night. I got a little drunk.
And you know what? If he was a good egg and he had a good a rapport with the people that worked for the town, it probably would have gone away and been like, oh, my God, remember that night? That was so funny. I can't believe that shit happened.
You ever get drunk at your employer's house? Or employee's house? Anybody you work with?
No.
Years ago.
And how'd that go?
It was a pisser, you know?
Well, this was a party, too.
Yeah,
but it didn't just show up and get sloshed.
Here's the deal. There's a difference between being a mayor with employees and being grown adults. When you were in your early 20s, hanging out with one of the guys that worked at it when they were in their 30s, and we sit there and, you know, party all the time after work. Or go out with the fence company. Matter of fact, when I was at one of the fence companies, Thursday nights we got paid, we go out to the bar. You know, all of us, and we all got pretty drunk.
You ever get so drunk that you stripped?
No.
Pip's got a big smile on.
No, but I've seen ridiculous behavior at company events.
Really?
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, there was a woman that we used to have an annual Christmas party, which is always dangerous. But we'd go to a nice restaurant, and there was one woman who was guaranteed to make an ass of herself in one way or another. And none of the guys in this one department wanted to sit near her because she would start laughing. And to, like, prove the point of how funny what she was saying was, she had to pound them on the arm. And one guy used to go home with
like
bruises.
Like a big fat guy, you say. No, a big fat guy has to show how big and fat he is by slapping him in the back.
Yeah.
Not Herman Munster, a big fat guy.
Yeah. But she would just, like, pound the hell out of people.
Oh, that's, you know, a comic. Gino Visconti's like that. You hang out around Anthony Cumia's studio, we come on the show, like, he'll beat the shit out of you wrong.
It's annoying.
You know Gino, right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
he's a wild man.
Yeah.
But there were other times where you could see that she was absolutely getting beyond the capacity that she should be driving, and people would start thinking, do you think we should take Judy's keys away from her? And then all of a sudden she'd slip out, she was going to the bathroom, and she'd be gone. She would just, like, she'd do the Irish goodbye. She'd just butt gone.
The Irish goodbye.
Yeah, where you leave a party, you don't say goodbye to everybody, you just leave. And
I didn't know that was a thing.
It's a thing. So, but the other
I wish
thing,
more people would do it.
You know, you're supposed to make the rounds and say goodbye to your host and goodbye to your friends and blah, blah, blah. And no, she just, boom, because she didn't want anybody stopping her.
Well,
but the best
on Curb Your Enthusiasm, I think they had the late goodbye, where Larry David, where if you don't want to talk to somebody the whole party, you give them a goodbye at the end. Oh, I didn't see you!
Yeah. I've done that. I avoided somebody the whole night and then said, oh, sorry, we didn't get to talk.
Larry David would be proud.
I know. But it's useful.
The late goodbye. It's funny.
I like that. But her crowning glory was the one year where she got so plastered before the dinner was even served that she waddled over to, you know how they have those giant trays and they put them on the folding chair, like the thing you fold out, and they put down the plate before they're going to serve everybody? And she waddled right into that giant thing, tipped the tray, and like coated herself in mashed potatoes and gravy and everything else.
Yeah.
And then fell on the ground in it. And it was
then rolled around. And
was she drunk?
Oh, yeah.
No, she was just hungry, Joe.
She was just...
Just really likes mashed potatoes.
I don't know if I'd laugh my balls off or be pissed off because I wanted the mashed potatoes.
It was both.
Mashed potatoes and gravy are good.
Really good. But how funny would be watching, you know, how funny would that be to watch?
Oh, you throw other shit at her.
Yeah.
Watching her get up, coated mashed potatoes.
Priceless.
Priceless.
We'll get something at the diner. Fuck it. Watch that. Never mind.
It was... Amazing.
So we agree that everybody's a little overreaction on this?
Yeah.
No, I think it's overreaction on the surface. If what was stated were the only things that happened, I think that they've overreacted.
You want me to do a deep dive on this like I did with your chicken salad?
No, but I do want to say that sometimes you're just hearing the surface levels of what happened. I mean, the thing that people were threatened, that you better behave and you better not leak this and things, talks to me about this tip of an iceberg in a possible toxic environment at work.
She's got a point. She's got a point. If this were, and the whole thing, look, if he got drunk, went on somebody's bed with his drawers down, whatever.
Funny.
Funny.
Rubbed his nut sack on the pillow.
Not so funny.
I don't know if that was in a story.
Taking it there, why not? We're doing a deep dive.
All right, fuck it. But then,
deep dive.
If he was using threats to keep that story down, that's a toxic workplace, and that might be the tip of the iceberg.
What do you think of politicians who make threats about not speaking up?
it depends on the situation.
That's, either way, it's toxic, right?
Yeah.
All right. As luck would have it. I told you, people play by different rules. This guy, certain people play by different rules. We're not all that person. That's what it comes down to. Same thing with social media. Same thing with politics. Same thing with comedy. It really all comes down to who you are and how valuable you are. If this guy's got allies, he'll survive it. Like
right.
if the Mawa Mafia, who's ever the high government people in charge of the Republican political party, if they got enough influence,
if they've got enough juice, he'll be fine.
He'll be fine. If not, they're going to make him. You've embarrassed us.
If they were looking for an excuse to get rid of this toxicity in the first place, oh, you're toast.
All these stories comes down to who you are
and who you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what it all comes down. That's totally what life comes down to. All right. Speaking of who you are and who you know. We're going to take our break. We'll do some scamming scammers. Joe and I introduced the world to fake Davin's new love, Han, last week. So we'll get into that. We'll do part two of that story. I'll catch everybody up on Han. And as usual, I feel good about this one. I think this one's for reals.
Oh.
This is going to be the love.
Oh, you poor baby.
Why do you say such things?
I'm evil.
We'll be back.